Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamer Tag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio. If you keep my voice, the sound of my voice, has been a long, long week. But this is Danny Pena, and I'm here joined by the one and only Paris Libby. How are you doing, Paris?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Still recovering from Summer Game Fest, man. Still recovering. How was your Summer Game Fest overall for you?
It was good. It's good. It's good. Good to great. It was great to see everybody in person, and you know, we got some hands-on time with some games and some new hardware. So it's good,
man. Where should we start? There was like so much stuff there that I feel like it should be talked about. It was like a lot of good stuff, man. I think this year, in my opinion, there was a lot more stuff that I really liked than last year, like games and products that we got to see, the presentation. There was like a lot. Was it the same for you? Because it was more for me like this. So,
yeah, I mean, there were some great games shown. I mean, if anything, a lot more of the indie AA variety that I really enjoyed seeing while I was there. So, I mean, you know, Jeff is evolving the show every year. So it's been interesting because this is what year is this year four?
And it's getting better and better. Yeah.
Yeah. It gets better and better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's start, man. For me, Paris, let's talk about like the top games. So, should we go with 3 or 5 games?
I have a list of games that stood out to me that I wanted to discuss right in front of me. I'll just jump in and say this one. One was Megabit and from Megabit, and the game is Pathfinder. And in simple terms, if you remember Gauntlet from the old arcade days, right? This is almost like a spiritual successor to Gauntlet. You can do the 4-player co-op in it. You know, it's top down RPG. You know, you have your different classes you get like a warrior class, wizard class, stuff like that. And, you know, you're taking on enemies. There's many bosses, you know, as you traverse through the level. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to see. It was great to sit down with the devs for that and see what they're working on, because I feel like when everyone's talking about all these games that came out of Summer Game Fest, I don't hear that one brought up a lot. And that was one that stood out to me that I thought was a lot of fun.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. For me, I have to bring this up, man. I love Luminous Arise. For those that don't know, Enhance announced this game, I think, a couple of days before Summer Game Fest. It was actually during State of Play. If you guys are really into, you know, puzzle games, if you play Luminous back in the PSP days, or maybe you also played Luminous Live, was available on Xbox Live Arcade, the 360 era. Or if you play the most recent game from them, puzzle-wise, Tetris Effect or Tetris Effect Connected, this is the same developers that worked on it. It has the vibe of Tetris Effect with the music and the graphics and just the feel of the game. But it's a lot more stuff in there too. A couple of new things that they didn't want to talk about. The team are planning to talk about it more later this year. I think during the summer, like multiplayer features and everything. But the game overall is very, very beautiful. I sat down with the team for like a good hour. We were actually playing the game and then recorded a podcast with them. So whenever you get the chance, go listen to a couple episodes before this one. And there I have a full conversation with the dev team over there. So shout out to Enhance. And here's the cool thing. They only invited like a couple media outlets to sit down with the team. I believe it was only like 13 of them in total, and I was one of them. So I'm very, very thankful that they gave me this opportunity to not only play the game for like an hour, but also just meet the whole team and everything. So Paris, so Luminous Arise for me was one of my favorite games, man, for Summer Game Fest.
Yeah, another one that stood out for me, I had a lot of fun playing, was Marvel Cosmic Invasion. Mm-hmm. This is coming from Tribute Games. They did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, I do believe. And same exact style, you know, side scroller, beat 'em up, but now you're using the quote unquote cosmic characters from Marvel. So like you got some of the X-Men are in there, because like I was using Like She-Hulk's in it, Spider-Man's in it. Like I said, you got Wolverine, Cyclops, people like that that you can play with. Captain Marvel's in it as well. Mm-hmm. And I played using Storm and Spider-Man it's a drop and drop out, and you can instantly swap between the two characters at any time, right? You know, as you're fighting these enemies and bosses as you're going traversing through the level, and it's co-op, so you have someone else that also has two characters that they can use as well, and they can swap in, swap out as well. And I believe it does couch co-op. Well, I know it does couch co-op because I did it, but obviously online co-op as well. A lot of fun. Again, if you played Shredder's Revenge, you know exactly what to expect from this. And then you obviously can do the different combos, you know, use their different powers as well. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. I love the blend of being able to take Storm, who can levitate and can kind of attack from above, and then swap over Spider-Man, who's more grounded, but can also use his webs and swing and all that. It was a lot of fun. Really a lot of fun. Really enjoyed that.
Good, mm-hmm. good to hear. So wait, this is the same developer from Shredder's Revenge. Yep. It's Tribute Games, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're the actual dev. The publisher is, I never say their name right, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I always screw it up.
Yeah. No, they make some that they're pretty good at releasing pretty good games like that. But I also play something similar, Paris. That this is from a developer, Lizard Cube, and also Sega was involved too. Is Shinobi, Art of the Vengeance, Paris? This game is my game of the show. It was
Remember, I came over and sat down while you were playing. I was like, oh man, this is freaking dope.
Bro, I was there for over an hour.
Yeah.
Played that demo. The demo was so good. Cause I only had like maybe a minute or two to beat the second boss, and I almost beat it and I died. And I went back. I'm like, all right, I already know what to do. And when I was about to beat it, the boss, one of the Sega team came up to me. He's like, hey, Dan, sorry, but you went over. There's somebody else coming in now. I was like, oh, bro, they had to take me out of the couch after playing that game. Yo, the game is phenomenal, man. It has that Metroidvania style. Love the animation, the graphics, similar to Streets of Rage 4. If you ever played that, it's like that type of style too. But Paris, it is so, so good. One of my favorite games of the show, bro. Oh my God, must have. I know this is coming out PS5. This was announced sometime back in February, I think it was. And bro, when this game comes out, I'm all in. So PS5, Xbox Series S and X. Also, they even gonna have it on the last Xbox there too. So PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and Steam. And it's August 29th. It's coming out. Must have. This game is phenomenal.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Now, a game I really enjoyed, got to do the whole four-player while we're going through it, was Lego Party.
Yes.
Which is a lot of fun. It just think, if you're like, what is Lego Party? Just think Mario Party, but with Lego characters. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And I love how they had like the play board, like you were playing Candyland or Monopoly or something, right? And you would roll the dice, and you could move your characters, and then you would go into these party games and have these different challenges. And depending on where you finish, that gives you more points, and then you roll the dice and you can move to the characters. And the whole point was, and I'm blanking on a little bit, but you had to get like these golden Lego pieces, and whoever had the most at the end wins. Right. And then there's these different traps and other things where you can, when you're on the actual play board, when you can knock someone off of their progress, or, you know, you could steal their gold Lego. Like there's a lot of little mini games inside the mini games, if you get what I mean, while you're playing it. It's a lot of fun. I definitely see big potential in this, and the fact that this is going to be on all platforms. I mean, this is just going to open it up to even more people being able to play it instead of just having to play Mario Party like on the Switch.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with that, man. Let me ask you this. How was your session? Because for me, I won second place in my session. How was yours?
It was funny. I was in first place the whole time. Really? And then at the very end, someone stole one of my Lego pieces, and then I got knocked back. I wound up being in third. I was like, gosh darn it.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, the dev team gave me a little, trophy.
Yeah, you get the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, Paris, that was like one of my biggest surprises was Lego Party. Cause I was like, oh, you know, it's going to be something, you know, cute. Bro, I was hooked. I was hooked the whole time.
Yeah.
Whole time. And honestly, this is one of my favorite games that I got to see also at during Summer Game Fest. It was very surprising, very fun. Lots of laughs. Mm-hmm. Lots of laughs. Were you playing with a random people, or you were playing with the devs?
I had Khalif was with me, and then a random person, because I forget his name, so I apologize. And then, yeah, one of the devs.
Awesome. Now, another game that really surprised me, I don't know much about the story, but I know that this game really stood out to me. And the thing is, you came with me, Paris, to see this game. It was very hitting during Summer Game Pass play days. Was Reluded.
This
game is made by, is it South Africans? I think it was the South African developers. I'm not 100% sure, but I know when I got to play the game, it says like a heist. So there's like, there's going to be like puzzles, things you need to do to jump and so on in order for you to escape the place that you're seeing, like some of like the things in the museum and everything. And it was really, really cool. Awesome game. Lots of fun. And I was hooked. I remember Paris was next to me, and he was just cracking up. He couldn't hear anything because he was just watching the screen. He was just cracking up. And by the time that I was done with my session, Paris, you got into it. You were like, oh my God. Like, you were like really into the game without sound.
I was like, yeah. Cause I love the concept of it. Like, you're essentially doing this parkour through the level, but you have to kind of pre-scout and set up things so that you can get through doors and get up to the ledges and stuff like that. So you have to pre-plan. So you have to look at the level like, okay, how am I going to do this, do that? And then once you have it all set up, it's a speed run with parkour through that level. I thought it was pretty cool. And then the African lore and everything that was a part of it as well was really cool.
Yeah, I heard, and I'm not 100% sure this is true, that people were talking about this game. A lot of people were talking about this game at the show. They're saying that they're also going to have themes like in Latin America also, like that, similar to this one with African lore. I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool concept. Really cool concept. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool. Now, Paris, I know there's a lot more games, but I have to say, I got to see, and you were there too, and Rihanna was there too. We got to see Resident Evil 9.
Okay, pause first before you jump, because you stole my thunder a little bit. I just want to say this as you get into it.
Yeah,
Capcom was the publisher of the show.
I 100%.
My God,
100%.
they got some games coming that people are gonna want to play. But please continue.
Yeah. I'll say this: Capcom was number one. I think Annapurna was number two.
Yeah.
But anyways, Resident Evil 9, you know, this has the same vibe as 7, you know, it was a presentation, it wasn't playable. I heard it was playable behind the scenes.
It was. Susie played it. She told me, she told me about it. She really liked
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So we got to see it. First of all, the theater was pure dark. You couldn't see no light in there. It was just the theater. That's it. You know, so we were sitting down, great sound effects, first person, very, very scary. Towards the end, they say, oh, we have one more thing. And they showed that you could turn it to third person. Yo, the whole room just went, yeah, like everybody was super excited. I personally don't have an issue playing Resident Evil first person, but it's cool that there's an option for you to change from first person to third person. But let me tell you, the game is scary as hell. This was presented, was captured from a PlayStation 5. Was it a Pro or a regular PlayStation 5? Do you remember, Paris?
I think they just said PS5. I can't 100% remember.
It looked phenomenal. Yeah. It looked really, really good. And it convinced a lot of people that are not even into Resident Evil to potentially play this game. You know, like there was a lot of people that I talked to, like, yeah, I'm not into it, but man, I think I want to play. I was like, oh, okay, that's good to see that more new people are getting to not only the horror genre, but just the Resident Evil series, you know. So it was really good. I felt like I was trapped in that house, whatever the person was located at. It was really cool seeing this game, man. Really, really cool. I really enjoyed it. A beautiful, beautiful presentation from Capcom. How about you, Paris? Can I know you also were there with me? I think you were like in front of me or something like that when you got to.
Yeah, we were in the same. Yeah, we're in the same theater, and yeah. We have to shout out Hip Hop Gamer. He was there. He just sets the entire mood.
Oh, always, always. Hip Hop is always there. Yeah.
Oh my God, he's so animated. It's hilarious. But yeah, I'm not a big Resident Evil guy, and I thought that demo looked phenomenal. I was like, oh man, I want to play this. It felt very intense. All the jump scares, everything about it. Like the whole time when she trying to get out, the monster chasing her, did the monster bit her. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. get out. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was good. Real good.
It was really good, man. I wish Brittany was there, man.
Yeah. I thought that the whole time. That's what I was thinking.
Shout out to Brittany.
Yeah.
Man. I think I'm trying to think of other games that stood
out. Let's stick with Capcom. So in the same presentation, Onimusha was there as well.
Oh my God, bro!
Really, really good. Ooh. Really, really good. Now here and for what it is, it's you know you're it's I don't even know if you're really in like feudal Japan, but you're like that style. Just set it up for people, but. You know, you're playing the character and you take out these enemies and then you're taking their souls, right? And there's sword play, all the parrying, all that. And we got to see like a mini boss fight. We got to see a boss fight in it. Visuals in it look really, really good. Now, here's my not a concern for the game itself, because like I said, if you just play that game, I think it comes early 2026 or something like that. But it looks really, really good. It looks like something you want to play. Mm-hmm. I wonder, by the time we get to it, will I have fatigue with those type of games? And here's why. Rise of the Ronin, just had Assassin's Creed Shadows. We're about to get Ghost of Yotai, and then we're going to get that after that. Am I going to be like, okay, I'm good with this? You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense, where I think on its own, fine. But if I've played all these games back to back to back, by the time will I get to that? Will I continue? Like, will its sword play and parrying stand up to what was in Assassin's Creed? Or obviously, like, when we get to Ghost of Yotai, which I think is going to be really good as well. That's my only minor critique of it. But just the visuals of it, the standalone of what we saw in that demo, really, really good.
I see where you're coming from, Paris, but I feel like all of them plays differently in a certain way.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not worried about that part. I think it's just going to be a different vibe,
and I hope so. I'm just saying that just as a disclaimer that if you're really into that genre, I feel like we're getting all these games in a short period of time. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's all on that. Now, the other part of Capcom was I did get to play Pragmata, and that was probably the most fun. No, let me put it this way. That game to me has the most potential out of every game I played at the show. Because and here's why. Because the concept of it is, you know, you got Diane, who's kind of like the robot android that sits on your shoulder. And then you're playing as essentially like the space marine, and you're on this space station, and there's all these different robots and enemies that you're going through. It's a third person over the shoulder shooter. Mm-hmm. But the twist to this is you can't take out any of these enemies until you take down their shields or their armor. That's where Diane comes in. And there's a hacking mini game that she literally has to hack them to take down their armor or their shields. And then you're able to do it. And it's going to get way more complicated. Like what we played was like the opening stuff. So, you know, it was pretty standard to be able to go through like, okay, I got to move the cursor here and I get to this power up. And then you get to essentially what is the green square, which unlocks it and unlocks the hack. And then you'll have a different variety of guns because you can upgrade those as you go along and you're taking out these enemies, but they're coming at you. So you got to be quick with it, right? So we're going through this demo. I felt like once I really got the hang of it towards, like, I'd say the last 7 or 8 minutes of it, you then get to the very end of it, and there's this boss battle that's about to happen. They tap you on the shoulder and say, get out. I was like, oh, I was like, I see the potential of this. Like, I can see this later in the game getting very complicated on this hacking board on what you have to do. And obviously the different upgrades and weapons that you'll get, and the enemy variety, knock on wood, hopefully is pretty diverse as well. And you have these mini bosses and bosses that you'll fight as you traverse through this. Again, visuals looks really, really good. Shooting felt good. The hacking mini game felt, again, start simple, but I could start to see it getting a lot more complex as you move along. It'd be interesting to see how the story plays out on this as well, but a lot of potential with Pragmata. A lot of potential.
Yeah, I heard nothing but great things about this game.
Yes.
Now, my question to you, how long was this session? Do you feel like that was
minutes.
Enough?
20 minutes. Not enough. That's my point. I was like, I'm like, really? Yeah. And now you making me get up? It felt like it was getting to the really good part. And then you're like, get out. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, the reason why I mentioned that, because we had a very long session with Capcom, so I wasn't sure how long was it. I think it was like an hour and a half or something in total.
Yeah.
So, and the presentation that we got to see, you know, Resident Evil and so on, like that was pretty long too. So, okay, good to know. Good to know. Really good to know.
Mm-hmm. Actually, go ahead. I've been talking a lot. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know I mentioned Annapurna as like my second publisher with like the best games. Bro, I heard nothing but amazing things about Mixtape. Mixtape has always been on my radar.
So you didn't, because Phil Spencer kicked you out, right?
Well, let me explain before. So look, 3 years in a row, and Paris is my witness, Suka. He's also been involved with this. So I was playing a Mixtape. You know, I didn't have an appointment because I had a lot of things to do behind the scenes. And I'll talk about that later on the show. But, you know, I was like, I talked to Annapurna and I'm like, yeah, you could play. And they were like, oh, Danny, I just want to let you know that we're going to have some guests here in a few. I'm like, okay, no worries. So I just started playing Mixtape. Great, amazing intro. I was like, into it. Rhea's like, oh, man, I can't wait for you to finish this demo. Let me know what you think. I'm like, all right, don't worry. I'm there for like maybe not even 10 minutes, you know. And a product comes up to me and goes like, hey, Danny, sorry, but we have to stop. We have the Xbox team here at the booth. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know. Bro, it was Phil Spencer coming in to play the game. It was Phil, Matt Booty, and Sarah Bond. So all of them got to play Mixtape and a couple other games that was there from Annapurna. Yo, a mob of people with camera crews, everything, right? So I started talking to, you know, to the team, like, you know, it's been a while. I haven't seen them. And you know, Phil, hey, how you doing, Danny? You know, yo, when I'm there talking, yo, Hideo Kojima just pops out of nowhere and started talking to him. Like, yo, I'm surrounded by legends. What the heck is going on here? So I had to stop playing. I had to stop playing Mixtape, man, because of that, man. But, yo, but with the few minutes I was playing, I got super, super into this game, man. And plus, Paris, like us, we grew up, you know, the 80s and 90s, especially the 90s era with Mixtapes and the vibe and the music. And like, I really, really enjoy the vibe, man. Really enjoy the game. It's really, really good. Have you got to play the game at all when you were there or not really?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't get a session to go in. And again, yourself and just so many other people around the campfire told me, yeah, this amazing. Like, yeah. I was even talking to Greg. He got to check it out. Really loved it.
Yeah, especially our age, bro. You love it.
Yeah, exactly. That
nostalgia.
I don't want to say much,
but it reminds me of us, you know, being kids in the 90s, like that type of vibe, you know. So I only play a little bit, a sneak peek. You know, it was very, but Ree was telling me that I had to finish the demo to fully experience the whole thing, and I couldn't because of that, you know, because of the visit from Xbox, you know. But it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. Great soundtrack, by the way. Great soundtrack. I know the beginning you start in a skateboard riding down the streets with two other people, and we're just like going back and forth talking of what's happening, and when there's like a car coming, everybody, car, and it was like, you know, getting prepared to go to the side so the car doesn't crash in there to them, you know. But it was cool. But after that, I started talking And that's when they came interrupt, so I couldn't really fully finish the whole thing, you know? So, yep. So, yeah, mixtape, nothing but great, great things, man. Great, great things.
So, the other one I wanted to bring up, and then probably just dive into some of the Xbox stuff I played, was FBC Firebreak. This was my first chance to get hands-on with it and play it. And, again, I swear to God, this is a common theme. So, my party was Steven Totillo and Hip Hop Gamer. So, I will just let you know how that mix, that cast of characters went along. So, that we had a hilarious time being able to play. But yeah, dude, I totally get it. I see what Remedy's doing. This is in the Control universe. I think, and I know you actually went to Remedy. So, yeah, so this is 5 years after Control, right?
5 or 6 years,
so.
Yeah,
I believe so. So it's in the Control universe, all that. And I love the, once you get the hang of it and understand what you're trying to do, the cooperative nature of it and how you use the different abilities that each character can have to solve certain scenarios. Because we played through two of the maps before our time was up. And yeah, it was really, really good. I like it. And I love that this, I believe it's on Game Pass, but it's $40. Mm-hmm. They're not hitting you with all these microtransactions and all this nonsense. You buy the game, you got the game. They're going to update it. There's going to be future stuff that comes to it, and they're going to support it. And that's why Remedy is just one of the best devs out there, because I love this approach to online co-op and what they're able to do. Like, they've created this universe that all their games live in. So this is, like, in a way, a lead up to Control 2. So definitely excited, because it's out this week. Excited, I'm sure, you know, we'll be playing together, and really looking forward to really diving into this game and getting more hands on.
And I'm glad, because when I went to my session, it was like a little bit of bugs, but like very minor stuff, right? But mm-hmm. I heard later that throughout that day while we were there, other people came in and the game was gotten like really buggy. It was like a very early build. The one that they had at Summer Game Fest is basically the retail version. So I heard very positive things about the retail version compared to the one that I played. But the game is fun. It's a lot of fun. It's very, very challenging. It's a game that you definitely need two other people that are into it, so to make it, you know, to make it the experience even better, you know. So you did two zones. The third zone is actually when you get to see a boss for that area. So good to hear that you really enjoy it, Paris. Even if you don't know anything about, you know, about Control or Alan Wake, you will enjoy this game. It's similar to games like Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood, like that type of vibe, you know, three-player cooperative game. And yeah, people are going to like it. People are going to like it a lot, man. What was your class? Do you remember? What was your class? Because I was into the fix kit class.
I swapped at one point, so I did the fire one, and then I switched over to the kit that had the water.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. So the fix kit for me, the reason why I picked it, it was easy for me to fix certain things that is in the game, and you get a wrench weapon, and you start hitting it, and it fixes the item. So it could be the shower, or anything. This a bunch
right,
of other stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I mean. Once we understood our different roles of how be able to do so, like, okay, now I need you to go do, okay, I got to run over to get the shower, and okay, you get this and hit the electricity. All right. I'm going to set that on fire. Like, it totally made sense after a little bit. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that you really enjoy that one, man.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. Here's the thing. There was so many games at Summer Game Fest. It's really hard to.
Yeah, you can't see everything.
You can't see everything, and it's really hard to explain that all in a podcast, because there was so many games, man. You know, but the potential is there. Like, I know, pre Summer Game Fest, we're like, oh man, are we gonna see any big stuff? Like, I don't, like, you know, but going to Summer Game Fest, like, I felt really good about just gaming overall. It felt a lot of companies are going indie, right, Paris? Like, a lot of studios doing their own thing and doing something different. That's the thing that I truly, truly enjoy about PlayDays this year. There was a lot of new stuff that it felt different, and it was actually good. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, props to, you know, Jeff Keighley and the Summer Game Fest team for creating a phenomenal event. And one last thing before we go to the Xbox Game Showcase, I haven't mentioned it yet, but I'm very proud that we finally, Rhea and I are very proud to finally announce the new Wu-Tang game, Wu-Tang, yes. Rise of the Deceiver. Paris was next to me. I didn't want to tell Paris when when it was going to air. I was like, I'm not going to say anything. We know we have an idea, but you know, being there and seeing the reaction from people once we show the teaser and just hear the oh my god, like, you know, people are saying, oh, could it be Def Jam, could it be this, could it? Yo, it was like one of the best feelings in the world, because I've never done this before, like work on a project like this, you know, and seeing this and also being there also with my other team, you know, from Brassline, it was like one of the greatest feelings in the world, man. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that hit me up, that been sending me messages, that got to see during Summer Game Fest or the Xbox Game Showcase event, just giving us props for it, man. You know, a lot of people were hungry for like a hip hop game like this, you know. So it was awesome. It was really, really awesome. And also shout out to Jeff Keighley for giving us the opportunity, man. You know, I saw the numbers yesterday of like of just Summer Game Fest overall, 80% increase. Over 80%. So it's really cool to see that, man. So congrats to Jeff on that, man. So and also all the media outlets that not only I booked to do interviews before the Summer Game Fest, but also after, you know, with Game Informer, Washington Post, IGN, GameSpot, The Verge, Screen Rant. It was a lot of people, man. So thank you everybody so much for the support, man. So Paris, you were gonna say something?
No, I mean, we can just roll right into Xbox. Again, congrats on everything with Brass Lion and the Wu-Tang game. I mean, again, hip-hop head, so it's like that's day one. Like, yeah, there's not even a question on that at all. So, yeah, it was very exciting to see. But, yeah, rolling into Xbox. So we did, you and I, we did the video where we went hands-on with the Rogue Ally. Let's get this correct. The Asus ROG Xbox Ally and the Xbox Ally X. Look, the name's too freaking long. I'm sure
Rog Ally is fine. Who cares what people say?
Let's just get into this for just a second, because obviously we've seen the feedback on social media now. A lot of people clowning the name. And one thing I told a couple people is you got to understand it's a partner device. Asus is going to want their branding on this device. They're not going to just call it the Xbox handheld or whatever. They're going to want their branding as a part of it. That's what happens when you have a partnership. So I get the name is long, and I get like trying to spit it out, you know, it's cumbersome, but I'm sure most people will just shorthand and call it the Xbox Ally or whatever. Right. But anyways, so at the time we recorded that video, you actually hadn't had hands on with it. So I'm very curious to see when we recorded the video, when you hadn't gone hands on playing it yet. I had already played it. Anyways, I want you to give your thoughts on it, but to my point.
So
hold on, I wasn't done. Jesus Christ.
I thought you wanted me to say it. I was going to tell you. Okay, go ahead.
Oh my God. See, 20 years I've been doing this.
Go ahead.
No. All I was going to say was real quick is the fact that, I know you probably have additional thoughts with the hands-on with it. But since we did that video, I also got hands-on with the Outer Worlds 2, and we both got to play Grounded 2 as well. Not to mention, we went full on with Gears of War Reloaded. So I was just setting it up of everything we was going to talk about. That's all. Okay. So please, sir, go ahead.
Oh, I'll say this, man. So we went to the Gears of War Reloaded presentation, and they had a handheld version. You could play the multiple devices, PS5. And everybody went to the console. So I'm like, nah, I'm going to go to the handheld, because I need to experience this. There's no other area where I'm going to experience this. This is the only opportunity. So I finally got to play Paris. Really. And look, I tried out the one that you have, the original one. So I only tried the Xbox branded version. It felt good. It felt, I liked the weight. Loved the speakers. Speakers was great. I also... love the screen. You know, I was there playing the majority of time between that and the PS5 version. The handheld was for me the one I lasted the longest playing, man. And it felt good overall. Like, even the rumble, everything just felt good about the system. Usually when I play like a Steam Deck or something, it gets really, really hot when you play a game like this. I wasn't even feeling it, like the heat. Like, I don't know, it was later, because that device looked like it was on the whole time, and it didn't feel hot at all, at all. Maybe it all depends on the settings or so on, but bro, I was playing the single player game there for the longest, just trying it out, and it was felt really, really good. I didn't check out the settings at all, because I just wanted to play and felt it, but I liked the feel of the analog sticks, buttons, everything, and also the D-pad. So it's good, Paris. I think one of the things that we brought up during our hands-on impressions is the price. How, you know, when this is coming out, how much is going to be the price for this one, especially the X version, because that's the one that I want to get, you know. And I do have a question to you. Did you try it out? The white version, the regular cheaper version, because I feel like they were promoting more the X to everybody else.
Yeah. So with me, couple things I want to clarify. First and foremost, the white version, as we're calling it, the Xbox Ally, in the video that we put out, I kept referencing that it was a 720p screen. Mm-hmm. I was incorrect. Both the white and the black one are 1080p 120 hertz screens. But the white one, because it's a lesser processor in it, they're targeting 720p for performance. So what that tells me is some of your less intensive games, right, that don't need a lot of performance, you can probably just play them at 1080p. Like, as an example, Blatro, you're going to play that at 1080p, right, because it's not doing a lot under the hood. But to your point, when we did the Gears of War session, like you said, you went directly for the Ally X and you played on that so you could get hands on. Mm-hmm. I actually played on the original Rogue Ally because they had that there as well. And so I went from that, having had hands on with the Ally X, to that. Let me tell you something. Those grips do so much for comfort. To go back to back with them like that, I could immediately tell the difference but between the two playing that. So I totally get why they went with these grips. And, you know, we'd even said in the video how comfortable it was to be able to hold it. So that was kind of the big difference that I saw between mm-hmm. the two. We will see what real world performance numbers looks like with that Z2 Extreme AI chip in there compared to what's in the current Ally X. But playing Gears of War Reloaded on it played just fine, even on the original one. I mean, there was no issues, hiccups, anything on it. But then going to the Xbox Ally X, the new one, and it was just way more comfortable to hold. And then obviously while we were playing Gears of War Reloaded, you and I did the co-op session where you were on PlayStation, which I'm curious how it felt playing on DualSense. And then I was just playing on the Xbox, and it was a blast to play. Like, it was hilarious. We got so into it that they literally was like, hey, you know, it's not a preview event, y'all gotta go. I was like, oh,
yep. Yep, that was the second game that we were there for, like, for me, yeah. The second game that I went over my appointment. And they would just say, it was funny because when, because it was, the room got really quiet. So I'm like, oh, man.
Because everybody was gone. It was just
everybody was gone. But when I turned around, the whole Xbox team was just looking at us like, oh, damn, yeah, they don't want to leave.
Yeah, you gotta go. Your time's up.
Yeah, Paris, playing this on the PS5, dude, the DualSense, it felt really, really good. It felt, first of all, it never went away, the skills, the Gears of War skills.
It's like riding a bike.
Riding a bike, exactly. Just the features with the DualSense, it felt really good playing the game, man, the PS5, man. It was really, really good.
I really did.
I loved it. I don't mind playing this version on the PS5 at all if the full version comes out soon. I think people are going to really enjoy, especially the PlayStation 5 that owners that have never ever experienced Gears. yo, their mind's gonna get blown. It still felt like a next gen game for some weird reason. I don't know why.
Well, that was the thing I was gonna bring up. It was like, you know, you have the nostalgia, the memory in your head going back to 2006 of what Gears of War looked like. Cause remember at the time that was amazing. That was the visuals, everything. And then them showing us what it originally looked like in 2006 to the 4K updates and everything that they've done now with the visual, bro, night and day. Like it looked like a blurry mess. Mm-hmm. Seeing it in 720p for the 2006 version to what it is now. So it looks really, really good. Played great too.
Yeah, and crossplay, it didn't even feel that Paris was playing a different version. I felt it at all. Like I was like, man, this is good. This is really, really good, man. Phenomenal job. Phenomenal job with the team that worked on this, man, Coalition. So shout out to them, man. Shout out to them. Is there anything else, Paris? We have to say, Paris, Grounded. We play Grounded too, also.
Yeah, we play Grounded too.
That was really cool. I'm still in shock. There was actually a third game from Obsidian in a year. I'll never forget this. We were watching the Xbox Game Showcase, and was it Matt? I think it was Matt. Matt was the one that mentioned it. Paris looked at me. I looked at Paris, and we couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, Obsidian has a third game? What? Besides that, we got to play the game before we did like a Q&A, and it felt really, really good. There was a lot more things to do in the game. Graphics, the look looked really, really good. And also it felt easier to pick up and play than the previous game. Like the other one, it took me some time to get used to it. But this one, I just picked it up and I'm like, oh, I'm really into this, man. This is good. Really, really good, you know? So, and I also turned around and it looked like everybody else that was in that session really enjoyed playing this game overall, man. So,
yeah. I mean, it is. And it was like, you know, we had the little Q&A after as well with one of the producers. And it was like to see them from what that game started as, where it was 15 people off in the corner over at Obsidian making this tiny project, to seeing that it's grown now to this full on sequel. They're partnered with, not Eidos. Is it Eidos? What's the Montreal studio? Crap. I'm forgetting the name.
Was it IO?
Thank you. It's IO. Partnering with them to bring Grounded 2 to life, and to see them taking all the community feedback that they got from Grounded 1 and implementing that. Cause you know, now we can ride the ant, all that stuff into this. And like you said, plays great. If you've already played Grounded, you know, the concept of it, you know, the resource management, survival aspects that you're doing to it. And they're taking it from the backyard out to the park now, and they're going to be able to expand it out. They're going to grow because it's in game preview when it's coming out now in July, but they're going to grow the world to, what did he say, three times the size?
This one is three times than the first one.
Crazy, crazy. But yeah, played great. And then sticking with Obsidian, I did get hands on with the Outer Worlds 2 as well. And, you know, you and I both love the first one, and to see them take again what worked in the first one and expand this into something even bigger and better, you know, just full-on Obsidian RPG now. You know, the weapons felt good in it, dialogue is hilarious as it's ever been. Really, really good. Visually look great as well. Ironically enough, you know something, I've not watched all the Dev Direct. I've only watched bits and pieces of it, so I've not even seen everything that they've done in the Dev Direct for it, but mm-hmm. getting hands on with it and playing it, oh yeah, October 29th, I'll be there day one for that, because I love Obsidian RPGs. And when I was in my session, I did get to see one of our good friends that works over at Obsidian, and I said to him straight up, I'm like, how in the hell are y'all doing three games? One freaking year. He was like, lack of a lot of sleepless nights, and I believe it, man, because they're, you know, I've said it for years, Obsidian, when we look back, Obsidian's going to be the most important acquisition that Xbox has made, and they're showing it to you right now. Look at what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you know they're not, you know there's more coming too from them, which is crazy. So
yeah both are really good. I didn't watch the direct. I also want to be surprised, you know, because I really, look, The Outer Worlds was game of the year for me that year that came out. And I finished the game, I think, three or four times, including the Switch version, which is like a very slow version. Mm-hmm. love the game. Play the expansion, everything they add in the game, phenomenal. So can't wait to play. Can't wait to play too. Now, the only game, Paris, that it hurt me that I didn't have the chance to play it at all or get to see it at all, because I'm a huge fan, Ninja Gaiden 4.
Yeah, same.
It hurt me not seeing that game, because I, you know, love the previous games, and I'm very excited to play this one. But I tried to get in. You know, I talked to a couple of people. It was just completely full. There was a lot of people that were very interested in seeing this game, you know. So hopefully we get an opportunity. If there's like one here in LA, I would love to attend, man, because I just love Ninja Gaiden, you know. So anything else, Paris, besides that?
One other thing, just sticking with Xbox, I got a chance to talk with Matt Booty Sunday night, and I straight up asked him, I'm like, man, because October is insane. Like Keeper coming from Double Fine is coming in October as well. My God, can't wait to play that either, right? Ninja Gaiden 4 and Outer Worlds 2. So it's like, not to mention you got the Indiana Jones DLC coming out right at the end of September, I believe, as well. So, and then you got Black Ops 7 on the back end of that, probably end of October and in early November. I don't think they've given the exact date yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you're just all these games, like, why are you just cramming all these games into this window? It's like, it's going to be impossible to play them all. Right. Mm-hmm. And he just straight up said, he goes, we're at a point now. We can't push stuff back anymore. He goes, if it's ready, it's got to come out, because 2026 for them, they're celebrating the 25th anniversary of Xbox. And Phil, obviously, during the showcase, gave the hint, we're getting Fable, we're getting another Forza, Gears E Day, which also is the 20th anniversary of Gears. And even though he didn't say the name, he just said a game that's been with us since the beginning, Halo. All that's happening in 2026. So it's like, when you look at all the games that they got coming, it's just, wow, it's impressive. It's very impressive. Excited for what's coming the rest of this year and into 2026 as well. So they're finally living up to the vision of one big game a quarter, because they literally just got that much content now, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's very, very crazy seeing that. the amount of content come from them, man.
Yeah.
It is nuts, man.
One last thing. So one interview I did on the last day was I got to sit down with Bethesda Austin for Fallout 76. We was at the booth they had at Summer Game Fest where you go fishing to talk about the Gone Fishing expansion they got for Fallout 76. Always great to see John. I got to meet him last year, and you know, good fun conversation we had just talking about the new update that they're having. But then John Rush, because he's creative director for Fallout 76, he then unprompted drops a little nugget, which now I realize is kind of going around a little bit in the Fallout 76 community. I thought, huh, interesting, but I figured he's telling everyone this. Turns out he didn't. The biggest content update to Fallout 76 in its history is coming later this year.
Interesting. And that was something that you were not expecting at all.
No, I didn't even ask about that, because I'm thinking, hey, they're just talking about the fishing update. I wasn't even asking about future stuff. And he's the one that dropped that nugget in there. And I've seen, you know, because it's on the Fallout 76 Reddit, people are making videos about it. I was like, huh, I got a little scoop there. Didn't even realize it. But looking forward to that, because like even when I was talking with him, it's impressive to see where that game started to where it is now, as far as content goes, how they've updated it, fixed things, all that. Very similar to Sea of Thieves in that way, where, you know, they didn't give up on the game. They continue to iterate on it and fix stuff. And, you know, Fallout 76 is arguably one of the biggest communities out there right now. And if you go play the game, like when I jumped in and really started taking it serious last year, it was amazing to see how the veteran players there are very willing to help. Like immediately, hey, come with me. Let me show you this. Let me give you that. Let me do all that. So, you know, if you ever get a chance, jump into Fallout 76. It's a lot of fun.
That's really cool. Really cool. They had like a special area, right? It's like a fishing area.
Yeah, the fishing area. Yeah. Because when Phil did his interview with Jeff Rubenstein, that's where they did it at that same spot.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Anything else, Paris, before we wrap it? Oh, I have one last thing I have to mention. And this happened back in April that I got these items from Razer, because I just been slammed with work and everything. But shout out to Razer for sending me Two things. One is the Black Widow V4 Pro 75% wireless keyboard and the Kraken V4 Pro wireless gaming headset. I really been enjoying these products that I've been using it for the past couple of months for GTR and also for work and just overall for gaming, and really, really enjoyed it. The Kraken, it's a lot smaller. I'm not used to small keyboards, but now the more I use it, the more I've been loving it. And I love that on the top right of the keyboard, that's like a little display which you could just change the animations on whatever you want. I just love that. And there you can switch on where to control if you want to control the certain things from the PC, if you just want to control like the sound, like it's very easy. Or change applications, really good. And also the Kraken V4 Pro, really enjoy the quality of the sound. Not only to listen to music, but especially games, like the bass, like it just feels really, really good. And I also love that you could control both products using application, like changes like the lighting, the color, the theme, the vibe. It's really, really good. I highly recommend it if you guys want to check that out from Razer. I know they were at Summer Game Fest. They had like a little booth area. I can't remember exactly what they were promoting there. But make sure to check out their stuff on the official website. It's really, really good, man. These are like very recent items that just came out a couple months back. So Black Widow Pro and also the Kraken V4. Make sure to check
awesome.
It out. Mm-hmm. Anything else from your side, Paris?
Good. I think that is it, sir. It was a fun Summer Game Fest, and now the real work begins as we go through the summer into the fall. All these games, man, my God.
Yo, September and October looks stressful.
Yep.
It looks crazy. Any games that you're like, you know what? I'm going to try that out first. Like, cause it's a lot. It's really hard to pick to choose.
I mean, there's just so much. One thing, because I haven't talked about it officially yet, the Altars. So, you know, obviously I went to Poland, did the preview event. Sure. You guys, yeah, I introduced you to Alex. You got to meet Alex Jordan, the
He's
voice.
Really cool. Really Jan.
Amazing dude. A lot of fun. Really good guy. It's one of the best games of this year, man.
Oh,
it really is. It's that good. You know, and I've talked about it before, but combining these different genres of survival, resource management, base building, this story of you have these clones of yourself that they're what if versions of you. If you made a different choice at a certain point in your life and dealing with that and them being self-aware that they are clones and what that means as you're trying to survive on this planet and get off on it. The story that they're telling through that is really, really good. I'm telling you now, again, it is on Game Pass. You can go play it right now, where you get on Game Pass or go buy it on Steam or PlayStation or wherever. It's one of the best games this year. It's wow. That good. So shout out to 11-Bit. They're one of my favorite publishers out there. The games that comes out of their umbrella, I love them all. I just do. They do such, like Frostpunk 2, Moonlighter 2, which will be coming out soon. Dev Howl, which I got a chance to play as well when I was at the preview event. And then now The Altars, which is out. The Altars, again, one of the best games of 2025.
That's really cool to hear, man. Really cool. Yeah, and it's crazy that he played every single character. That's
nuts. Yes. Well, it's just how talented Alex is, man. That's what I mean. I've been lucky over the last year to really get to know him. And he plays 11 different versions of the same person. And I swear to you, if you didn't know it was Alex doing all 11, you would think it was different people doing it.
That is nuts.
Yes. That's is that crazy. Good?
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap it up here, guys. Make sure to tune in. I have, I believe, one more interview that I record. I'm probably going to release it sometime next week. Check it out. And also shout out to Ben Kenobi and the team. I know they had a watch party for the Xbox Game Showcase. We did like a little pre-show. I have the recording of that. Probably put it sometime soon on a podcast. It was a conversation between Paris, Rihanna, Khalif and I. We talked about our predictions, what we thought was going to happen, but also we talked about just Xbox community overall, and it was a lot of fun, great conversation, man. So shout out to Ben. I think they did a great job with an event, you know, getting a venue and preparing, you know, people coming in to watch the Xbox game showcase, because there was no FanFest, official FanFest. So it was good to see that, man. Experience that with them, man. So thank you so much for inviting us. That was a lot of fun. Can't wait for next year, man. So, all right, guys, we're going to be out here. Gamertag Radio, thank you for listening. And until next time, we're out. Take care.
Peace.